Our epistle lesson today is 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 13. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end, and as for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The movie Tuesdays with Maury, based on the book, is the true story of a sports writer, Mitch Albom, and his reunion with a former college professor who is dying of ALS. Albom is a multitasking workaholic whose life is a series of hurried appointments, rushed phone calls, and last-minute sprints to catch a flight. But when he discovers that his friend, Maury Schwartz, is in the last stages of ALS, he honors a long-overdue promise to visit. In these visits, Maury teaches Mitch some important lessons about life. On one occasion, Maury is very frail and is lying in a recliner in pain. He grimaces and asks Mitch to rub his feet. When we're infants, says Maury, we need people to survive. When we're dying, we need people to survive. But here's the secret. In between, we need each other even more. Mitch nods and responds with a quote that he has heard Maury say many times. We must love one another or die. Maury loses patience. Yeah, but do you believe that? Does it apply to you? I just don't understand it, says Mitch. Well, it's a very simple lesson, says Maury. We must love one another or die. That's what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is essential. Love is what life is all about. When we come to the end of our lives, love is what really matters. The victims of 9/11, they didn't make final phone calls to say, I hate you or you hurt me. They left messages of love. Love is the main thing on our minds when we look back over our lives because love gives meaning to our existence. Kids are often able to see love when we can't. Listen to some kids' answers to the question, what is love? When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore, so my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. Love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at them because you know it would hurt their feelings. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot because people forget. When and where have you seen real love? What does it mean to you? According to God, love is what we were created to be and do. Our purpose in life is to love the way God loves us. Pastor Edward Marquardt of Seattle Grace Lutheran said, God commands us to love one another, but it's like God commanding fish to swim, or birds to fly, or daffodils to be beautiful. When God commands us to love as God loves, God is simply commanding us to be the kind of people we were created to be in the first place. We were created for love. But in reality, it's not something that comes naturally to us. These words from 1 Corinthians 13, they're familiar to most of us through weddings, but they were not intended for couples getting married. Not at all. They were written to a community in Corinth who were fighting, arguing, trying to prove who was right, who was better. They were a church full of conflict, competition, and division. These people were driving each other crazy. And Paul writes to remind them of their purpose, to love one another. But in order to love one another like God does, we need a lot of help from God. So real love comes from God and flows through us. But it requires our effort and energy. Loving like this in 1 Corinthians 13, it takes maturity. Pastor Kevin Armstrong says, the grown-up Christian recognizes that marriages and friendships and relationships and church communities bring together all kinds of different people with different gifts and ideas, and as wonderful as that is, sometimes it all just drives us crazy. And then we're reminded once again, love is patient and kind. The question is, are we grown-up Christians? Do we love despite the fact that people drive us crazy? Are we mature in our love? And how has your idea of love changed over the years of your life? I mean, when we're little, love is about me, what makes me happy, what I'll get from others. As we grow up, love ideally evolves, doesn't it? Do you remember your idea of love changing over time? How do you view love today? The Apostle Paul reminds us that although Jesus tells us to be childlike in our faith, we are not to be childish in love. Real love takes maturity. It means getting beyond ourselves, beyond our feelings. It says, I hear you and I'm here for you. It's not about self. It's about giving self. Real love is a verb, a way to live deeper than any emotion, extending far beyond ourselves. That's why Paul says we're called to love like adults and put an end to childish ways. Real mature love loves even the people who are hard to love. Now that's difficult for most of us. In fact, Paul would say we can't do it alone. We need God's help. But then, like Nike's old motto, we just do it. Even when we don't feel love, we just do it. That's mature love, just loving. C.S. Lewis once famously wrote in Mere Christianity, do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you're behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love them. Real love is mature like that. It's self-giving. And all of our love is just a foretaste of the love of God that we will experience in heaven. That's what Paul means when he says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now we know only in part, then we will know fully. So how do we live a whole life of love? The best place for us to find the way is in a person. Jesus. The best way to know love is through a relationship with Him. We need to understand God's love for us so that we can love others the same way. Then we're not conjuring up our own feelings or actions. We are loving because we are loved. It's flowing through us. This kind of agape love that Paul describes is what makes a true community of people called the body of Christ, the church. Agape love is what Paul is describing here in 1 Corinthians. English, we have one word for love. We love pizza, we love our families, same word. In Greek, there are 6 different words for love. Romantic love, self-love, brotherly love, playful love, long-standing love, and agape is the ultimate radical, unconditional love. It's God's love for us. and the love we are called to give one another. There's a reason Jesus commanded us to love one another as he loves us. It's because love, or the lack thereof, is literally the most powerful force in the world. William Barclay once said, "More people have been brought into the church by the kindness of real Christian love than by all the theological arguments in the world. And more people have been driven away from the church by the hardness and ugliness of so-called Christianity than all the doubts in the world." Isn't that true? Love is the most powerful force and our most powerful calling. Jesus said it best, "They will know we are Christians by our love." We can know and experience agape love in our families of faith, in our relationships, by the grace and gift of God. We've all seen glimpses of such love in our own lives. Where have you witnessed it? I've seen it in my family when my mom took care of my dad for 13 years. It's the love I see between so many of you, caring for one another through conversations, calls, visits, food, prayers. Love is what we need to nurture in church. It's what we need to teach our children. It's what we need to encourage more than anything else. It's something our world so desperately needs today, to know we are Christians by our love. So how can you show that love today, this week? Today in your bulletin is a post-it note. If you're online, maybe you have one at home or just a small piece of paper. I want you this week to write something loving, a word or a phrase of encouragement or appreciation or a Bible verse about love. Everyone I know could use a loving word from someone else. We all need to be reminded that we are loved and that we are instruments of God's love. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel for you today. We are loved so we might love one another. This is the way people know we are Christians. And for that, all God's people can say together, Amen.